Scripture lesson this morning is Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning at verse number 21. Mark's Gospel. This account can really be found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but we're going to use the Mark account. It's in Matthew 9, I believe, and Luke 8, but we're going to use Mark account. Verse 21. Jesus got into a boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately, the bleeding stopped. And she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said unto him, "Lord, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use of troubling the teacher now." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith." Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep." The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave. And he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened. And then he told them to give her something to eat. Amen. I want to talk about a father who intercedes for his daughter. A father who intercedes for his daughter. Here we are. Jesus approaches this town. He gets out of a ship. He gets out of a boat, rather. And a crowd is gathered because they have heard that Jesus is on the way to their town. Don't know how many people are in the crowd, but there's a crowd waiting for him. And as soon as he steps off the boat, this local leader of the synagogue shows up to talk to him. Leader's name is Jairus. Jairus is a rich man. He's a local leader. He probably has on his robe. He's the leader of worship. Every Sunday, every Sabbath day, he gathers people and he leads worship. He's a well-educated man. He probably has money. He probably is very well respected. People have brought their children to him day in and day out over the years for him to lay hands on their children, to pray for their children, to be a blessing to their children, except for one thing. Now trouble has come to his house. Look at somebody and say, trouble will come to your house. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter how much education you have. Doesn't matter whether you're a minister. Doesn't matter whether you're a doctor. Doesn't matter whether you're a reverend. Doesn't matter whether you're a deacon. Doesn't matter whether you're a trustee. Trouble is on the way. And you know those simple answers that we have? Sometimes when trouble comes to your house, look at somebody and say, the simple answers don't work. Then you've got to learn how to take it to the Lord in prayer. So this guy, this Reverend Dr. Jairus, if you'll allow me to put it like this, who has been a blessing to many, he finally comes, he's got a 12-year-old daughter. We don't know what her name is. We don't know what her condition is. Well, we know what her condition is. She's dying. Which one would think that Jairus had been to every doctor known to man. He's got money. He's got health insurance, if you let me put it that way. He's taken his daughter to the doctor. She's been to the local hospital. She's been to the specialist. She's been to one specialist after another specialist. Except for one thing, nobody could help her. So this Jewish leader who really was out to kill Jesus, this Jewish leader who did not believe in Jesus, this Jewish leader who was out to destroy Jesus because he had tried everything else and he had heard about Jesus and he had a daughter that was dying, said, I'm going to take my daughter to Jesus. I have no other place to go. There's no other one that can help her. So I'm going to break tradition. Even though I got all of these robes and even though I'm a well-educated cat, I'm going to take my daughter to Jesus. So he takes his daughter to Jesus. And he, to some degree, he embarrasses himself. He falls out in front of Jesus, and he begs Jesus, Lord, I got a daughter, I got a 12-year-old daughter who is dying, and if you will just come by my house, and if you will just lay your hands on my daughter, if you will just heal her and give her her life back again. You know, sometimes it doesn't matter. You know, because we have certain stature in the community. But how many of you would not be embarrassed to save your daughter? How many of you would not fall down if you thought that Jesus could heal your daughter? I would fall out and heal your son. I would do whatever it takes to get Jesus to come by my house. This particular text. So Jairus intercedes for his daughter. And then, and Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. And we preached this text 100 times about the woman with the issue of blood. It's a great text. But if it was my daughter, I'd say, why you got to come to Jesus today? Why can't you come to Jesus tomorrow? Monique is sick. Michael is sick. I don't mind you getting a healing for your blood issue, but this is my 12-year-old. Don't be looking at me like that. You'd be doing the same thing. Except if you had the blood issue. So this woman interrupts Jesus on the way to Jairus' house. Suppose somebody interrupts Jesus on the way to your house. And you say, I ain't mad at you, but could you just hold off for another hour? Until Jesus stops by my house first. And then I'll send my chauffeur. Where are you, Felix? Take Jesus to somebody else's house.
But in the meantime, so this woman who has this issue of blood interrupts Jesus. She goes in and pulls his garment, and then the healing goes out of Jesus and heals this woman. And if I had been Jairus, I would have been said, I hope you got some more healing in your garment. I've been saying, for God's sake, I hope you got one more miracle today. Anybody know what I'm talking about? This woman. So Jairus, this father who intercedes on behalf of his daughter. Now I got some news for you fathers. Don't wait till your daughter is almost dead to intercede. Don't wait till your son is almost dead before you intercede. And look at somebody and say, there's more than one kind of death. There's a spiritual death. There's an academic death. We got some walking dead children, and we need somebody that's got the boldness that'll stand up and intercede on behalf of our sons and our daughters. Now, I know women, you're not going to like this. But I'm going to preach it anyhow, because I'm a bold brother. There's a woman in our church. Actually, she's really not a member. She came, had a little girl. She has a little girl. This little girl is really my neighbor. And I went to school with her. The little girl was having some reading problems. And I really talked to you about her before, and the father's not in her life, and this mother asked me to go to school with her and talk to the teachers about her daughter. And I went, and I started talking about the daughter. And the teacher, the administrator, thought I was the child's father. I said, no, I'm not her father. And what embarrassed me is that the teacher began to almost ignore the mother and talk to me. What I'm trying to tell you, there's a certain kind of respect that fathers get that mothers don't necessarily get. And so you got to spend some time going to intercede for your child in school. Now, if daddy don't go, mama's got to go. But daddy, for God's sake, don't wait till your child is almost dead before you intercede. Because if they're academically dead, they will have a tough road to hold. Do I have one witness in the house? I can remember. I'd like to think. I don't know what my legacy will be in terms of my contribution to society, my contribution to Hackensack or Bergen County. That's for others. But I'd like to think that among the legacy is I tried to be a good father. If nothing else is said, if nothing else, I'd like for somebody to say, when my day comes, that Jackson tried to be a good father. And in trying to be a good father, I can remember a couple of times when I interceded on behalf of my children. One time or a few times, I made some mistakes in interceding. So interceding is not always good, but if there's a couple of times, if I had to do it over again, I'd change it. One time was with Monique. When I just decided she was going to be on the swim team. I decided, no, you're going to be on the swim team. I don't care what you say. And I embarrassed the girl. If I could do that over again, Monique, I'm sorry, I wouldn't do it. I learned. Because I just decided, no, you're going to be. Because you're a good swimmer. And I just pushed her, and I pushed her too far. Father, sometimes we can do that. Do I have a witness in here? Have you ever made a mistake in trying to be a good father? I know I have. Another time when I interceded. I don't know if this was for Michael or Mona. I don't know which one of us. They were doing pretty good in school, and they were in honors English. And I decided, I don't think I made a mistake on this one, but I think I was too one-sided. I decided I was going to go up and I was going to talk to the head of the English department. Because all they were teaching them were the classics. And they were exposing them to great literature of yesterday. Was that you, Michael? Oh, that was algebra too? No, that was me. Obviously, it wasn't you. This must have been Monique. Let me tell this story. Maybe that's another mistake I made, but this one was I went to the English professor, the teacher, and I was complaining because there was no black literature. Because I don't mind you giving the classics to my kids, but I want you to have some Richard Wright. I want you to have some black literature as well. I stand on that today, by the way. Now, I don't remember the algebra story. You can tell me it between church, and I'll give that to the next one. But the point is that every child needs a father to intercede on their behalf. And you're going to make some mistakes in your interceding because it's an on-the-job learning experience. Being a parent is an on-the-job learning experience. And when I look back over my life, I've made some terrible mistakes in trying to parent. But one thing I want them to know, that I love you guys and I'm proud of you today. Not that you're perfect. This, let me get back to the text now. That's my own little testimony. Thought I'd throw that in for the journey. Jairus. This leader of the synagogue, his daughter is almost dying. And he talks to Jesus, and this woman with the issue of blood interrupts his journey. But the text does not say one word about Jairus being upset with this woman. Which says to me, Jairus must have been a type B. Because if he'd been a type A like me, I would have been steaming. Now, I don't know who I'd have been more angry with. I don't know if I'd have been mad with Jesus or mad with the woman. Which one would you have been mad with, Ella? Don't you dare get mad at Jesus. But anyway, this Jairus never said a mumbling word. Once Jesus had healed this woman who had the issue of blood, Jesus just turned and goes on and continues his journey, which says, you know, that Jesus can handle, look at somebody and say, I'm so glad he can handle two things at once.
I'm glad I am limited. I can't do one thing well, but Jesus can handle my problems and your problems, and he's got enough mercy, and he's got enough grace, he's got enough healing in the hem of his garment to heal your problem and my problem. You've got to learn how to wait on Jesus. Don't you be trying to press Jesus. You can't hurry God. You just have to wait no matter
how long it takes. He's a God. You can't hurry. So Jesus goes on, and just when, now this one, Deacon Robinson, this really would have upset me. Jesus is on the way to my house to heal my little girl. Takes time and heals this woman with an issue of blood. And just when he's getting ready to go on to my house, a messenger shows up from his house saying, don't bother Jesus now. It's too late. Your daughter is dead. But Jesus, before Jairus could say anything, how many of you know Jesus knows just what to say?
at the right, before Jairus could go crazy, before Jairus could gyrate, Jesus says, don't be afraid. I got this. She is not dead. She's asleep. So he keeps on walking to the house, and there's a commotion there. There's the professional whalers. I don't know what's happened to the professional whalers in this generation. When I first got to Hackensack in 1984, there were some professional whalers around. They came to everybody's funeral. They cried anything. They didn't even know the people. But I don't see no professional whalers no more. I don't know what happened. All the professional whalers are dead, I guess. But in this text, the whalers, they're weeping it. Crying, and Jesus says, what's the commotion? And he says, she is not dead. She's asleep. I guess as a local, Brent Smallwood was there in the room. And Brent says, I specialize in death. That girl was dead. Jesus said, are you arguing with me? I said, she's asleep. Look at somebody and say, Jesus can see something in you that everybody else can't see. When everybody else writes you off, Jesus looked at you and said, I'm going to make somebody out of you. Jesus said to the girl, get up. Amen. Oh, Jesus is talking to us right now. He said, get up. You've been sitting down long enough. Get up. You got a good voice and you won't say, get up. You got some technology and you won't use. Get up! Jesus is calling you out of your sleepy state. If anybody sleeping next to you, wake them up. Say, Jackson is talking about you. Anybody's not even listening, wake them up because you could be asleep. Somebody got their eyes open, still asleep. Won't laugh, won't smile, won't say it. Jesus steps into our situation and he calls us out of our sleepy state and says, get up. I got work for you to do. And thanks be to God, this father took his daughter to Jesus so that Jesus could call her out of her sleepy state. Thanks be to God for a father who loves his daughter or his son enough to take them to Jesus. This morning I was looking on the internet, and I didn't read the article. I got to read it between services. It was an article on the internet. You know how these things flip up in front of you, and they have one up there with what the rich teach their children. And they had Donald Trump's picture there. I said, oh, my God. I heard somebody out there say, oh.
I got to read that article. I don't know what Donald Trump, but I hope he has the nerve to go back and teach his son or his daughter, when you make a mistake, you got to confess it.
I hope it. I doubt it. And they had a picture of Buffett. I don't know what he teaches his children. I don't know what you teach yours. But I hope that you introduce them to Jesus.
I know. I think I was right. I think I was right, Mike, when I went to the math class, if I did. I think I was right when I went to the English class. I think I was right when I tried to get involved in some exercise program. I think I was right, but sometimes you blow it.
But there's one thing I'm sure of.
I mean, I might have blown it as a parent. And I know when it comes to sports, usually I'm an embarrassment to Mike. I mean, I know that. But I pray to God that I got one thing right. I pray that I introduce him and her to Jesus Christ, who's able to lift up a bowed down head.
If I do nothing else right, I got one thing right. Jesus is the lily of the valley, bright in the morning star. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is a healer. When you can't find out where else to go, take your child to Jesus and don't wait till they're almost dying. Read an African proverb some years ago. It says, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. You didn't bring your kids to Jesus 20 years ago. Bring them today. Today is all you have.